Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble and dust, 'cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say, you better.
I got a question for you, Jeffrey. If the University of Memphis football team wins the national championship this year.
Yes. When?
Is it be will it come with an asterisk? Will it be legitimate? Will it come with an asterisk?
I think there will probably be a C footnote, so it'll probably have an asterisk.
Well, so there's two things embedded in that question that I would like to address, right? One is, if it actually unfolds the way that it could, if yesterday is the way it sticks, we'll get to that. Could Memphis, if there is a playoff, could an undefeated Memphis team get into the playoff? That's the first part of that question.
Well, that question also has a question.
Is there a playoff?
Yes.
Is there a playoff?
Correct.
What happens to the playoff structure?
Correct.
And then, is there a playoff?
Correct. So that's the first question.
Could Memphis get into the playoff?
Number two.
And then, would there be an asterisk when Memphis goes on to win the championship?
Number three.
Very clear on this, by the way. I don't think the bubble championship for the NBA should have a quote-unquote asterisk. It is different. Yes, it is different. But every team that would have been there is there.
Correct. You're playing eight teams in each conference.
You'll say, oh, that was the bubble year. They won the bubble championship, right. And you'll note that. But it doesn't diminish it in any way. It might be a little less fun. The fans don't get to celebrate. You don't get the parade. You don't get whatever.
It'll probably be a different atmosphere, but in general, no. It'll still be.
There's no asterisk. It's every bit as legit as any other championship.
Yeah.
Now, unless, for example, I guess it's LeBron and Giannis, and then Giannis comes down to COVID and misses four games. But, no one in the bubble's getting COVID, as far as we can tell, right?
Correct.
So that would not be in any way tainted, asterisked, anything else. Whereas when Memphis wins the national championship in football, because they aren't going to have to beat Ohio State, right? Because they're not, the Pac-12 isn't there, because Ohio State isn't there, it's not the same. And that's true even if someone like an outsider like Alabama or Clemson win the national, somehow can upset Memphis.
One of those little upstarts?
Yes. If Alabama wins the national championship, it is, and any team that wins it, it's totally legitimate. You can only play the teams in front of you. Like, right? You know, it wasn't the SEC's fault.
Jeff, we're taking one game at a time.
Exactly. We're playing the schedule in front of us and whatever. If they chickened out before the season began, for whatever reason it was, like, that's not Alabama. I don't know if you've ever heard this. Control what you can control.
Exactly. Control the controllables.
And so it will be – they should celebrate it. They should be able to count it. If there is a national championship. But will it be – will that one come with an asterisk appropriately? Yes. Because everybody isn't there, right?
I think that's fair.
Doesn't mean – it's still the best championship that's available. It's all we got. Like, it's like if you win the lottery when it's $80 million instead of when it's, you know – $780 million. You would rather win the $780 million Powerball, right?
Sure.
But you'll take the $80 million Powerball.
I know I would.
I know I would. So anyway, these are some of the matters that we will discuss today on the radio show in hopes of avoiding any Grizzlies discussion. My God, we haven't been able
to play.
We haven't been able to play that win-win-win thing. What? And the one day that they did win.
It was Friday, and then they came back and lost on Sunday.
And so we had no chance to play it, and I was on the road anyway. So we have not been able, since they went to the bubble, really since March, we have not been able to come in and talk about a win. God, it's depressing. Speaking of depressing, John Martin is going to be with us in the next segment. I don't say that because he's depressing, not at all. John's a ray of sunshine in my life, and I hope in yours. But
Thursday, March 5th.
Was the last time we had a win to talk about.
Well,
Who won over?
So they beat the Nets on that was the fight game that let you know. No, that was the home game. They beat the crap out of the Nets, and then they went on the road to Dallas. They beat Atlanta on Saturday, but I think by then,
what happened on? So that we weren't celebrating that on a Monday.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. So I think the last day we celebrated a win was probably Thursday, March 5th.
Anyway, John Martin is going to join us. He is. We always do the mental health check with John. We'll see how he's doing. He called me last night when I was writing my Grizzlies column, which you can read at dailymemphian.com or my Twitter feed, Jeff, G-E-O-F-F, not J-E-F-F, like the posers spell it, underscore, which throws
people off,
too.
Sorry, did you say proper or posers?
And then Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S. There's no U in Calkins. People like to put a U in Calkins.
It's Calkins.
Jeff. Underscore Calkins. I would be Jeff No underscore Calkins, but that is my nephew. He's younger than me, and so he was savvy enough to grab it first. He is so rich. There's no amount of money I could give him. He is one of the first employees for, what the hell is the name? Flatstone? Flatiron? Flat something. A medical, what the hell is the name of that company? He's basically retired at age 30.
How much younger is he?
He's in his 30s. He is in his 30s. He's a kid. He went to Yale.
Yeah.
Then he was going to go back and get his MD, PhD somewhere. I forgot where it was. Flatiron. That's the name of the company. And then he started working with this little startup called Flatiron.
Yeah.
And the rest is history. And I cannot buy Jeff Calkins from him on Twitter. Anyway.
Did he take it just to spite you?
No. It's because name, in fairness, his name is Jeff Calkins.
Yeah, but he was the second.
I have another Jeff. There are three Jeffs. G-E-O-F, there's Jeff Oxnard, also a nephew. Mm-hmm. Jeff Oxnard, he's my sister's son, and so he doesn't have the same last name. And then there's Jeff Calkins, and then there's me. Anyway, you can read that on what was I even talking about?
I thought we were just trying to avoid the Grizzlies.
Setting the schedule.
I just thought we were trying to avoid the Grizzlies.
Chris Harrington, we're not going to avoid the Grizzlies with Chris Harrington. He's going to join us. We will talk about the Grizzlies then and the NBA generally. And then just because every time we were talking about comfort food last week at one point. Well, there's a comfort topic that we like to talk about here on the show. It's the It's the conversational equivalent of meatloaf, conversational equivalent of
country
mac and
fried
cheese,
yeah.
and country fried. I think country fried steak and mac and cheese. It is the NFL.
Yes.
So we may just comfort ourselves in the second hour by talking about the NFL. There's actually even a mock draft up now, which is the most mockiest of all mock drafts ever. When every even it's not even just a hypothetical draft. Everything about it is hypothetical. The Joe Burrow, can you imagine this Joe Burrow? Joe Burrow would have been a fifth rounder this year.
I know.
With no season. Anyway. All right. We will talk briefly about the Grizzlies before we get back to Memphis and the national championship. Grizzlies played again yesterday. They lost again yesterday. You know, Gary came on this show and had the nerve to try to talk me into why I should care about the results of the Grizzlies game, and I briefly fell for it.
Yeah.
I briefly went for it. He said, you know what? Why you want to win this game, then you get on national TV, and you play Portland, and then if you win those games, then you get the Lake. I'll tell you why. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right. That would be better. Until you actually watch the team, like, we're done here. I don't mean it as a giant criticism. It's totally understandable. A, they weren't that good to begin with. They wouldn't have been a playoff team in any normal year. They're not that good to begin with. They're kids. They're kids. And then they get devastated by injuries. I don't blame them in the slightest. It's been I still feel fabulous about the future. And my God, thank heaven for Ja Morant. This franchise without Ja Morant, oh my heavens. So I feel great about the future. I feel great about the franchise. I feel great about the front office. I don't feel great about watching games in the bubble. At one point, Pete Pranica, maybe the nicest man in the world, says Boston's up by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
You know, even Pete's pointing out that, you know, things are getting a little out of hand here.
Yeah. It was a 3-possession game in football.
Right, in football. And that was early. It was 42-21 at that point. The game was never competitive, never the slightest bit competitive. And in fairness, no one played well except for Ja.
It's almost as if I think the biggest takeaway for me in the bubble is, yes, all the things that you said are true. And I think the most significant aspect of the rebuild is you've got to find the guys, like your centerpieces. And they have done that. But I think beyond that, I don't know. And Brandon Clark, I guess, at that certain role. Beyond that, I don't really know if you found someone that you go, this is a long-term.
See, I think D'Anthony Melton, as bad as he has been in the bubble, and he has been terrible in the bubble, D'Anthony Melton in the bubble has shot 26%. 15% from three, like that's not good, right?
Yeah, D'Anthony Melton's field goal percentage is down 14% compared to his regular season numbers. His three-point percentage is down 14% compared to his regular season.
And he's only shooting 39% from the free throw.
His free throw percentage is down 38.8%.
Yeah. So I actually, the problem is, of course, is that, and this is why the injuries and they just have put everyone out of whack. Everyone's playing, doing different things than they're supposed to do. You saw when Brandon Clark was a starter. Like, Brandon Clark wasn't very good.
That's kind of been, when you ask these guys to take on expanded roles.
And they're not ready for it.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe someday they'll be ready for it. Like, maybe someday Brandon Clark can be better. But right now, but as a role player coming off the bench, D'Anthony Melton can be a good player. He's got to be in that role, and it can't be as the backup point guard. It's got to be, and you know what, the whole thing, the way they played with Tyus Jones, there's speed, there's athleticism. That's how they got buckets. It's how he was effective. He's not a shooter, never has been a shooter. Even when his field goal percentage was better, he's not a shooter. But anyway, so I actually think there's some pieces on that team that could remain on that team. You saw him yesterday playing a really damn good team that was, by the way, and I'm convinced of this, they absolutely want the damn lottery pick. They want their lottery pick this year. They want the their pick. Now, the Grizzlies are almost certainly going to give it up anyway, but they want their pick. They want it to be as good as possible. I guess that's what I would say. If the, by losing, the Grizzlies now will be, whatever, they'll be the 14th pick. They'd rather have it to be the 14th pick than a later pick. I think it played something into it. I just think they wanted to play their starters, and they did play their starters, and my God, Jason Tatum was awesome. Absolutely awesome. But you ran into an experienced, deep, good, well-coached team when you are 20 years old and without three of your seven best players. Come on, man. Like, I don't blame anyone for any of this. I mean, I might blame Taylor Jenkins for not challenging that that call. I guess I could blame him there. If you want to blame him for not ever playing Josh Jackson, that's weird. Isn't it a little weird?
Yeah, I don't
blame anyone for anything here. It's just like they're not very good. And in my column, I pointed out that every other team that is competing for the eighth seed with them has had really good luck in terms of who they have gotten to play. Like, you get to play Houston without James Harden. You get to play Utah without Mike Conley or Donovan Mitchell or Rudy Gobert. But the truth of the matter is the Grizzlies can't complain about that because they've stunk.
Well, and further, they had injury luck. They had, for the most part, until February, the Grizzlies had good injury luck.
And they did play San Antonio, and they did play Portland, two of the teams straight up before they lost Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yes.
Looking back at it, those games, like right now, the Grizzlies are still in a position to make the play-in game if they can beat Milwaukee, who will not be with Giannis will not, because Giannis was headbutting last night. Seems unlikely Giannis is going to play in that game. So you're going to get to play Milwaukee without Giannis, and you can still make the play-in game if you
win.
If you win.
Theoretically, they can make it without a win, but...
Theoretically, without a win, but probably...
I think you need to win.
The way it really... I'm not going to go through all the various eventualities. Listen, Portland's still involved and is the favorite. San Antonio's still involved. Memphis is still involved. Phoenix is still involved. But the upshot, if the Grizzlies lose, they're probably coming home.
Yes.
And if the Grizzlies win, they're probably playing Portland. Could be Phoenix, but probably playing Portland
most
in the play-in game, because Portland's playing the Nets, and even though the Nets are playing pretty well, Portland with Dame going for freaking 61 will probably still beat the Nets. So that's where you are. It's quote-unquote must win if you really care that they make it to a play-in series, which they don't have any chance of winning. Or very little chance of winning. Wouldn't you say that? They're not going to beat Portland twice.
Oh, I would think they would be close to double-digit underdogs.
Yeah, so I don't really care. I'm back. Gary briefly persuaded me. I don't care if they win Thursday. Nice. Be nice. It'll be nice for them if they win Thursday, right? Because there's a you. But it's fine if they don't. It's fine if they don't. Like, this has been a valuable experience. This has been a very valuable... It's not been the experience they wanted. Mind you, it's not been the experience they wanted. But it's been a valuable experience for a bunch of reasons. One is Grayson Allen. He started missing some threes yesterday, but I think you've seen that what he possibly can be on this team. Because, honestly, you've been reminded of some of the limitations. Certainly shined a spotlight on some of the problems with Dylan Brooks and shined a spotlight... on some of the limitations of D'Anthony Melton, right?
Yeah.
Let's not get overly excited about these dudes. And then, honestly...
I would actually even say with Dylan, like, D'Anthony, you can kind... If you want to talk yourself into sample size being the issue, I'll at least entertain the argument. With Dylan, I think what this has heightened is, because the stage is bigger and his role has expanded without Jaren and whatnot, and because it feels as if every game feels bigger, it's highlighted the negative to a very big degree.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I'm not, again, maybe who knows whether this will be permanent? Who knows if he can figure out what his role should be? Because in the end, that's what it.
Isn't this kind of the problem? Even when Jaren was on the floor, there was the same issue.
No, that, we all get it. It's the role. It's the question of whether he can change his mind about what his role is, and we'll see. But to me, the other thing that was really has been great about this is it's sort of one of the things people you hear all the time is you have to fail in the playoffs before you succeed, right? And that's not entirely true, but it's mostly true. Like, you do see teams that you saw it certainly with Jordan, right?
Oh, yeah.
You have to fail. Now, the Grizzlies aren't going to make the playoffs and aren't in the playoffs. But that is what this has felt like.
Oh, yes.
And so if the Grizzlies get to have their rebuilding year, this rebuilding year, this sort of rookie rebuilding wide-eyed year, and their first playoff failure all wrapped up in one bizarre season, like that's great. That's
positive. Great.
That is a positive. And what you saw from Ja, who was tremendous yesterday, really without any help, 26 points, 13 assists, 42 minutes, 15 free throw attempts, free throw attempts, both career highs. He just didn't like have any help. Like they had no one to kick it to, right?
He was doing everything you needed him to do, which was get into the paint, create shots, open looks. Unfortunately, they went like 1 for 14.
And he was exhausted.
Yes.
Absolutely exhausted. And and not only that, he's getting better. Like he struggled a little against San Antonio, against Toronto, against teams that throw big guys at him, etc. And he is being tested. Certainly his minutes, in terms of minutes he's being tested. In terms of the focus he's being tested. And he has, unlike a lot of players on that team, he has risen to the occasion. And so this has been a valuable experience. It's been kind of a demoralizing experience, but they will be better for it. I am convinced of that. Now, Chris Harrington, who we will talk to at 10 o'clock, said this. I don't have the tweet directly in front of me. You could look it up. But the tweet basically said, from a Grizzlies perspective, am I wrong to not want them to make the playoffs? He said, I would rather have the Ja and Jaren Grizzlies make their playoff debut when Ja and Jaren are both able to play for the Grizzlies, when fans can witness it, etc.
Here's the tweet. Is it okay from a Memphis perspective to not want the Grizzlies to make the playoffs? Play-in series, sure. But I think I'd rather see Ja and Jaren Grizz make their playoff debut with, you know, Ja and Jaren with actual home games and not in a surefire sweep, plus Dame versus the Lakers.
I don't care about the Dame versus the Lakers thing. I mean, sure, that'll be a fun little consolation prize, but that doesn't have anything for me to do with whether I want to see the Grizzlies advance to play the Lakers. I guess I don't really care about them symbolically making their playoff debut in front of fans. This is just be a weird thing and whatever. I just don't need to watch them anymore. I don't need to. They're not very good.
I bought League Pass.
And against the Lakers, they're going to get smashed. Yes.
I bought League Pass for the restart, and I've gotten a look at just about every team for a pretty extended period of time. If they're not the worst team down there, I mean, I guess you could make the argument the Nets, but in terms of the product on the floor, I mean, this team is 1-7, and they are 1-7.
They're 1-6.
1-6 and 1-6 against the spread. And the only game they won is the game they covered.
Yeah. They just haven't been very good. And again, there's no shame in that. So is he wrong to not want them to make the playoffs? I don't think he's wrong. I'm just kind of agnostic about it. I'm not certainly rooting against them. This is not like a tank situation where I was rooting for the team. To.
Hey.
And if they get in the play-in series, that's fine. Whatever. I guess I do want them to win that game, particularly if Giannis isn't there, because like if you lose then too, like if you lose against the watered down Bucks team, it'll just be kind of ignominious. Go ahead and beat the Bucks, get into the playoff game against Portland. You will have to then endure Dame and the celebration and all that, ultimately. But whatever. At that point, you can say we still got into the playoff. We still got into the play-in game. We hung on enough that we got into the play-in game, and so there's a little dignity in that. And
it would also kind of be fun to see Phoenix go 8-0 and still not be able to get in. Like there's kind of a nice little moment there.
Yeah. I don't know where they are in the lottery, though. Like, do you want Phoenix? They may actually have a decent – that Phoenix team, it is true, and this is something Chris has talked about. There are some teams that have redefined themselves and what we think of them heading into next year. Now, Phoenix got to play a lot of crappy teams, a lot of teams resting their stars.
Phoenix is 10th in the lottery.
Okay, so I'm not that worried about that in this draft year. So, but Phoenix is one of those teams that will be projected, I believe, by most experts to finish ahead of the Grizzlies next year.
I think that's
based
fair
on what has happened in the bubble.
I think that's fair.
You know, they've been doing what the Grizzlies have been into, and they were at it a lot longer. They've been drafting young talent a lot longer than the Grizzlies have. And obviously they have found some. So do you lose your Memphis card if you don't care if the Grizzlies get into the playoffs against the Lakers? And the answer to that is no. You can feel about it however you want to feel about it. Whatever way you want to feel about it is the way you absolutely are allowed to feel about it. They just looked, and I said this, like every Disney trip comes to an end sometime,
yeah.
Right? You go down, and you and this is sort of what happened to the Grizzlies. You go down with this giddiness,
yep.
This bubbly sense of joy.
Youthful excitement.
And we saw that. Like, hey, we're in Disney, and they're doing the Zoom calls, and they're laughing and giggling, they're excited and whatever else. And by the end, you look kind of like Ja looked sitting on the bench after 42 minutes. Like, you're like,
I don't even care about Space Mountain.
Like, I this has been great, but I'm kind of ready to go home. Like, I'm kind of ready to go home. And that's a team that looks like it's just about ready to go home. And I think Ja certainly deserves to sleep in his own bed. And you just get this together and try again next year. That would be my prescription. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, John Martin's going to join us on the radio show. We'll talk more about this Memphis winning the national championship, whether there will be a playoff, whether there the Memphis Tigers can make the playoff, whether there will be football at all. That was the other big news from yesterday. We'll talk about that. Chris Harrington's going to join us straight up at 10 o'clock, and then a little NFL. It's Jeff Gawkins Show on a Wednesday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
The way Paul Cowers phrased it to me is, it's on full blown, no holds barred. And he was talking, of course, about O'Call's semi-annual sale. It'll never be better than it is right now, with savings on all spring and summer merchandise throughout the store. Women's clothing is 50 to 70% off. Men's clothing is 30 to 50% off. And there's new merchandise arriving every single day. I'd go just to check out the brand new performance knit shirts. Brand new patterns, brand new styles. It's still hot out there, isn't it? Now is the time to get the performance knits you need. As for me, my eldest son Ben celebrated his 23rd birthday the other day, and I've already promised I'll take him to the semi-annual sale. His wardrobe needs some freshening up as he starts a new job after college. Plus, we'll get some new five-pocket pants by Brax and by Peter Millar. Whatever you need, there's simply no better time to stop in and see your friends at O'Call. It is their semi-annual sale, and it's no holds barred.
This August, you could win $20,000.
$20,000.
Or even $200,000.
$200,000.
Introducing two new instant games with two ways to play.
Two ways to play.
And two ways to win.
Two ways to win.
Double match and double match bonus.
Double match and double match bonus.
Double the fun. Double the chances. Double the cash. Double match and double match bonus. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Get ready to get your game on with the Tennessee Lottery and fill up your day with fun. Like when you need to upgrade the fun on that road trip. When you could use a little did I just win $50 fun.
Woo, yeah!
Or when you like to add a side of fun to that next snack.
Wow, it's good.
Would you like some fun with that?
Well, yeah.
Then play the Tennessee Lottery. And for just a dollar or two, you can get your game on. Please remember, play responsibly.
Oh, yeah. Blue Note Bourbon captures in a sip that foot stomp and rug cutting boogie-woogie soulfully authentic feeling that only comes alive in Memphis. If you can't go out to the juke joints, bring the good times home with you. Blue Note Bourbon Juke Joint. It's smoother than smooth.
Stay informed on the latest news, political and election coverage, and business and financial updates with Radio.com. On your phone, smart speakers, and more. Radio.com gives you live local news, keeping you updated on the latest guidelines and reopening plans in your community. Stay up to date on what's going on around the country and the latest financial news from national news leaders like CNN, Fox News, Bloomberg, and more. Listen to the most trusted local and national news on Radio.com and the Radio.com app.
The National Constitution Center serves as America's leading platform for constitutional education and debate. It is central to the center's mission to convene discussions about current constitutional issues facing our nation so that people of all ages and perspectives can learn about, debate, and celebrate the greatest vision of human freedom in history, the U.S. Constitution. For the center's live programs, constitutional news, podcasts, educational resources, and online interactive Constitution, visit ConstitutionCenter.org.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then try Babbel. Text HELLO to 64000 and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel free. Just text HELLO to 64000 and start learning a new language today. That's HELLO to 64000. H-E-L-L-O to 64000.
These days, it's okay to do some things halfway. Like wearing your pajama bottoms on a work call. But managing your prescriptions shouldn't be one of them. That's why CVS has a proprietary search tool to find ways that may help lower your prescription costs, and we'll deliver them too. No wonder CVS customers are better than most at staying on prescriptions, which tends to make you healthier. Come in or call today and get a free prescription savings review at CVS. Savings vary. Not all patients eligible for savings. Ask pharmacist for details.
For muscle pain, body aches, to strains, Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis. It works fast and you won't stink. Its unique formula with emu oil penetrates deep to relieve arthritis pain, sore muscles, joints, and more.
Sports in the United States are finally mostly back. The Major League Baseball season is underway. The NBA season has resumed. MLS and the WNBA are happening, not to mention the PGA Tour. So we have a lot of stuff to sit at home and watch. And if you're like me, Gary Parrish, you might want to have a drink while you're watching. And if you're like me, New Amsterdam Vodka will be your drink of choice. New Amsterdam Vodka is a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. It's five times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered three times to create a soft finish. It is so smooth, you can drink it straight. And yes, it really is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store, and that's because it's a quality vodka that's reasonably priced. And if you're into flavored vodkas, New Amsterdam offers a variety. Watermelon is the newest flavor, so keep an eye out for that. And don't forget, New Amsterdam also has a gluten-free vodka. So please, ask for it. Next time you're in a bar, in a restaurant, or inside a liquor store, New Amsterdam Vodka. That's New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web, newamsterdamspirits.com.
Coming Monday. Keyshawn Johnson.
I think he's going to be special. I just think he's going to be all what they thought he was when they drafted him.
Jay Williams.
It's funny. When I see great players play in this league, there's a certain aura they bring to the table. When I watch James Harden, I question the leadership of James Harden.
And Zubin Mahinte.
Despite having arguably the top player in the league at the most important position, they're picked to finish last in the division.
Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin.
Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin. Weekday mornings, 5 a.m. till 9 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN. Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Well, John Martin and I have something in common. You might not believe it, honestly, given the many differences between us. But that thing is affordable blinds. Affordable blinds. John is having Chip Wiggins over to his house to work on his blinds and shades and shutters. And Chip was recently at my house. John, do you realize I now have a designer? Do you know that?
It really is nice to be white, isn't it?
I have a banker? Well, no, and listen, here's the point. Anyone can have a banker. Like, they just go to Triumph Bank, and, like, they can have a banker. Like, they've never had a banker before. But I now – what the heck is that? I now have a designer. I now have a designer, and the designer is working with Chip Wiggins. I don't know what this music is. What does this mean, Jeffrey?
It's John's walkout.
Oh, it's John's walkout music. I see. Okay. Anyway, affordable. Chip Wiggins was over at my house meeting with my my quote unquote designer, and they're putting plantation shutters in my bedroom, and those plantation shutters are going to be made right here in Memphis, Tennessee. Normally, any other place you go to, you order plantation shutters, they come from China. And they take 8 to 12 weeks. That is true, by the way. They're all made in China. Here, they are made right here in Memphis, Tennessee. Chip Wiggins and Affordable Blinds. I went out there, visited the factory. If you want, like, if you want to go see your plantation shutters being made, you can do that, too. And instead of 8 to 12 weeks, it'll take you 9 days. And it'll be the not just American-made, Memphis-made craftsmanship. This is something of which you are familiar, isn't it true, John?
Yeah, very familiar. Very happy. Now, this was, you know, 2 years ago that I got the blinds, so those could have been from China.
I got a shade. Now the factory's here. Uh-huh. You got shades coming?
Yeah, I got a shade from him that is I can look at it and I can just tell that was American made. There you know, go. You can just kind of tell sometimes. Right.
No. Anyway, it is Chip Wiggins. It is Affordable Blinds. And if you have any such needs, by all means, get to see them at affordablindsllc.com. affordablindsllc.com. 901-753-5822. 753-5822. Don't wait 8 to 12 weeks for your plantation shutters to come in. You can have them in 9 days. All right, John. It's Wednesday. Every Wednesday, we do your mental health check. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm pretty good. Let me check the stock market.
Good God. I bet it's going down. We're not having the problem is that, I don't want to get political here, but the Democrats want to keep giving you money and the Republicans don't.
Like the stock market is within the S&P 500 is now within 8 points of its February all-time high.
Woo-hoo! I could tell that designer she's got a little more in the budget to work with now. We don't, you know, have to be shopping exclusively at thrift stores.
I'm good. I'm fine. I mean, there's a lot going on sort of in our house.
Really?
You know, Sam gets kids back in school on Monday, and that's been a real
Kids come Monday. School, of course, teaches what grade? Fourth grade?
Third.
Third grade. Okay, kids are coming back. Now, let me ask you this. In terms of, like, all the stuff, like hand sanitizer, masks, all the stuff you need. Like, do they back a truck up with that stuff so you have everything that you need for the year? What's that like?
Sadly, no. It's a real shame. I know there's a lot of blame to go around. Unfortunately, education is usually the first sector that gets cut in the budget, and it's a real shame.
So what is it? There's a shortage.
Well, teachers are on their own, man. I mean, when it comes to supplies and stuff for the classroom and everything like that. I mean, there are certain things that a teacher can apply for grant wise. Sam has gotten some grants. Like, you have to basically write a grant and say, I'd like to do this and this and this. Like, she's gotten flexible seating, which is basically like, you know, beanbag chairs, right? Like, and each grant has like $500, $1,000, whatever. But you know, you're on your own with that. I mean, it's not like you can go to the principal and say, hey, can we fit some beanbag chairs in the budget this year? You know, it's not really up to them. It's a sad situation. But
Sam is like most teachers, like you hear all the time, literally spending her own money on things for her classroom this year. How about just hand sanitizer? Like, did she get enough hand sanitizer?
No, I mean, she has a wish list up on Amazon, and it's all hand sanitizers, masks, Clorox wipes.
Hold on, can people find this wish list?
Yeah, so I'm gonna tweet it out because
where is it? Where do we find
it? It's on Amazon. There's no like easy. It's not like Amazon.com/Sam Martin's class. It's like a bunch of letters. But I'll tweet it out and because again, man, these teachers are on their own. They're totally responsible.
So like, what's on her wish? She's literally a teacher and she's got an Amazon wish list for supplies.
That's right.
And some of it's just basic supplies. It's not like the beanbag chairs. You can see, listen, we don't have enough money for everybody to have beanbag chairs. We can't do beanbag chairs. I don't like that. Like, we shouldn't be, like, having to scrimp. If beanbag chairs would make it more effective and safer, yeah, like, then they should buy a green big bag. But if the basics aren't even covered, like hand sanitizer, are third graders wearing masks or not?
Yes, they are. They have to wear masks at all times. And what depresses me about this, Jeff, is that, like, there's so many items on here that would be great for these kids to have in a classroom. Like, they're just enriching items.
All right, let's see some of them. Let's go. Let's see the list. Let's go down the list.
Well, there's a soccer ball. There's, you know, like this deal right here, which is a voice amplifier, Bluetooth. There's gummy bears. There's speakers. There's what is this contraption right here? A barcode scanner. I'm not sure why she needs that. I'll have to talk to her about that. But a bunch of books and other things that are, you know, $18 a pop, $8 a pop, that just totally are going to get, they go to the back of the list, you know, because you need wipes and you need masks and you need hand sanitizer. It depresses the crap out of me.
The wipes and the hand sanitizer, not all supplied by the school system.
No, she's on her own. I mean, realistically, I mean, it's not like the school is going to just keep coming and saying, all right, here's your week. You know, here's your weekend Clorox wipes.
Why not?
You know, it's just, I don't know. I mean, this has been just and I'm not blaming the school. Like, I understand that this is just an absolutely horrible time for everybody. Last week, just to give you an idea of what's happening, last week, they were under the impression that they would have an overflow room where all the teachers in certain grades could, you know, basically store their items that they didn't need, because they didn't feel like they were going to have to use that room because a couple of teachers volunteered to go virtual. And so I go up to the school and I'm up there for an hour and a half moving filing cabinets, moving the containers of books and heavy stuff. I'm getting I'm doing real manual labor, man. I'm not used to this. And then she tells me yesterday she's got to move all that stuff back out because now they need the room for they need the room for kids. And so it's just been logistically a really tough time. And I really hope that this is a year of great patience. You know, and I've said that before. I'm going to keep saying it. A year of great patience from these parents who I get it, man. It's scary, man. It's scary for everybody. But I would ask you to just really choose the path of empathy and patience and know that we're all going through this thing together, and it's not going to help anybody if you lose your cool. So we're just hoping for the least turbulent school year that we can have. That's what we're hoping for right now. And no COVID. That would be great.
So otherwise you're fine. Okay. So I've got Memphis winning the national championship in football, and because I think this is the year. You know, you take Ohio State out. Mm-hmm. They're always gifted a spot no matter what, right? They're gifted a spot. You take Ohio State out. You know, obviously the Pac-12, it takes itself out usually, but now the Pac-12 is not a threat. Wisconsin can't unjustifiably take up a spot. I think this is the year that Memphis, given that the Big 12 has decided to play, that the ACC has decided to play, that the SEC is onward and upward, and now the Power Six, the AAC, can join the fray. Jeffrey was going to explain to me whether there will actually be what's the issue, whether there will be a playoff, Jeffrey? Let's just pretend that this is how it goes. Let's pretend that the SEC, the Big 12, and the ACC actually do get to play games. Why wouldn't there be a playoff?
Well, let's just start with the obvious.
Well, they're not there, but what? Why would that stop the playoff?
Well, the conference, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, who are founding members of the college football playoff.
Well, say you can't do this without us?
I'm willing to bet that there's going to be an aspect of that.
That they have some right to object? They haven't forfeited their right to object?
Correct. And you ever seen people just say, oh, no, you can have all the rest of the money? We'll just stay over here. Like, there's going to be an aspect of that.
Well, there's money, and then there's the championship. Those are different things.
Well, and then on top of that, like, okay, are we going to implement certain testing procedure? Like, there's going to be a lot of complications.
What did you think, John, of the decisions by the Big Ten, by the Big 12, by the Pac-12, by the SEC, and by the ACC yesterday?
Well, I mean, I think we look on the Big Ten and the Pac-12 decisions as premature. I mean, that's just how I feel about it. I don't think there was any need to make a decision today. I don't think the information was any different about the virus today. You know, the myocarditis thing has been circulating for weeks now. That's not necessarily new information. And so I just think we'll look back on what they did yesterday.
Here's the problem. So I can absolutely imagine a situation where you're looking up in October and everyone else is playing football and the Big Ten is going, what the hell did we do? Right? I can't imagine that, right? What the hell did we do? Having said that, I don't know how, when we don't know what they were told by their doctors, by the medical people, and then it's just bizarre to me. Like, the Big 12 was briefed by their medical people, and the Big 10 was briefed by their medical people, and both sides said, yeah, well, after being briefed by our medical people, we came to the only conclusion we could come to. Like, what are these medical people listening to? But I don't feel as comfortable as you do saying that there's nothing in the medical information to indicate that they should cancel the season right now. How the hell do you know that?
Well, how does anybody know? I mean,
we don't. That's my point. Like, we don't know.
Right. I mean, like, so how can you have conviction one way?
I don't think you can have conviction about this.
Like, you can't say, well, we know that everybody gets this is going to have a heart attack and die.
No, I don't think. I don't think you or either of us can say that whatever the Big 10 was told was not persuasive. I don't think you can have a conviction about that one way or the other. I don't see how you can. Now, I will tell you this. This is what I find a little bit mysterious. Let's just say it's the heart issue, right? Let's just say, oh, well, what happened was, and maybe it's like, sure, theoretically we knew about this heart issue, but now that we're seeing it manifested more often, we're more concerned about it, et cetera. Whatever. But let's just say that's the concern, okay? That young people who get COVID sometimes have a heart issue that could really have lingering effects, and we're really worried about it, right? If that's true, how can you bring young people on campus?
Exactly.
Like, I honestly, like, if that is true, because we do know that bringing young people to campus, me dropping Peter off at Duke, there will be outbreaks at Duke. If we're worried, because this heart issue doesn't only happen to football players, does it? No.
No, I don't believe it. It's limited to just football players.
And it's not just basketball players. It would be any young people. So if the heart issue is keeping you from playing football, why isn't the heart issue keeping you from having people on campus generally?
Why isn't the heart issue keeping you from leaving your house at all?
No, that now you're being sarcastic. I actually think the other one's true, though. Why are you putting, 30,000 people at the University of Arizona?
That's why I think Nick Saban was actually right the other day when he said, you know, why is this question becoming, why are we playing football? The question should be, why are the kids at school?
Right. If it's the, particularly if it's the heart issue, if that's the driving force here, you can say, listen, let me ask you this, John. If you were a university president, you're David Rudd, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I came to you and I said, listen, there's a club on at school, and it's got 80 members, and what they want to do is they want to, during this time of COVID, get together every week and, and hang out with each other. And then every week they're going to fly to another school and they're going to hang out with those kids in close proximity and have little breakout groups and whatever for the weekend. And then they're going to come back and then they're going to be students. Is that okay this fall?
Well, I would ask you, are they going to be tested twice a week?
I don't think a Memphis player is going to be tested twice a week.
Yes.
Twice a week. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay, they'll be tested twice a week. Do you want that? It's a debate team.
You're getting tested twice a week. You're getting tested. The surveillance is at a high level there. I'm gonna know if you have COVID. I would be more worried about those groups if I'm a university president, period, point blank, than I would be football, because I know at least with football, those kids.
Well, I'm just saying those groups, and they'll be tested just as much as the football players are. Then you'd be fine with them flying off every week somewhere else, meeting another group, coming back, et cetera. Is that something that we'd allow?
Tested twice a week?
Yes.
Absolutely. Provided I could get those results back in a reasonable time frame, yeah.
And do we know exactly when the Memphis tests, what the turnover for Memphis tests are? Did Rudd say? I will listen to your whole interview. I don't recall him saying.
I don't think he told us. I don't know, but I mean,
I don't recall him saying they were tested twice a week and they're like instant tests. I don't. I mean, I listened to that whole interview. I don't think it came up testing on your interview with him.
Well, the AAC released their COVID-19 testing protocol in July. And I believe it was two times a week.
All right, I'll have to look into that. So anyway, Listen, I am someone, to be clear, I want them to play, and I'm with you. I think, why not just wait, you know? Why cancel it now? And you could look up, and you're the Big 12, and you could look like an idiot, I think. And you could be kicking yourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm with you. Like, someone tried to tell me on Twitter yesterday, they said, how do you feel when you have been arguing that every university should be closed, how do you feel dropping your kid off at Duke? How do you feel when you say there should be no football, dropping your kid? Well, I've never said either of those things. I've never said universities should be closed. I don't think they should be. And I've never said that there shouldn't be football. I want there to be football. I've said there shouldn't be high school football if there isn't high school, which seems pretty obvious. If it seems not safe enough to have 5-day-a-week in-person learning for high schoolers, you probably shouldn't have high school football. That one seems obvious to me, particularly given that there's no testing. Do we agree on that, John?
Oh yeah, I mean, it's all about the testing, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
I've certainly never said you should shut down all colleges, and I've never said I applauded Rhodes for being courageous enough when they determined it would be dangerous at Rhodes. I've applauded them for shutting down Rhodes, but for making a hard decision, because that's a hard decision to make. But no, I didn't. I actually don't have any qualms about Peter being at Duke. I do have different qualms about what it's like, the experience for a kid now. It turns out it's extraordinarily different from my freshman year and whatever else. But anyway, so you think it was premature? You are steeped enough in the medical literature that you think it was premature.
Well, I just don't understand how other doctors can get to a conclusion that it's safe to do this. And by the way, Scott Gottlieb, who is a guy I follow on Twitter, who seems like a
reputable guy. Yep.
Yeah, he's on the board at Pfizer. Today, he went on Squawk Box and said that I think it was possible to restart these teams. So, I mean, this is a totally unbiased guy. He doesn't have an agenda of any conference. He's not just trying to pander. He says, I think it's possible because they're basically there in a bubble on campus. He said it was possible, and the Pac-10, the Big Ten, Pac-12, and Big Ten determined that it was not possible. And listen, here's the deal: regardless of whether a Big 12 season begins or not, I do think those coaches are going to lose players because of this. Those kids are going to transfer. And how can the NCAA tell them that they're not eligible immediately? How can they possibly do that? Because their schools aren't playing this fall. And so I think they're going to get pillaged, and they're going to regret the decision one way or another, even if Big 12 does not ultimately complete a season, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten will be feeling the effects of this for years to come.
It's funny because people accuse sports writers of rooting for the virus. And as you know, that's the dumbest thing ever. We're getting to talk about being pillaged by the virus. We're getting pillaged by the virus. I do think now, though, that if I am a Big Ten official, I'm rooting for the. I mean, I'm not rooting for the, but I'm definitely rooting for the SEC and the Big 12. And
well,
you
don't want to be the only two Power Five leagues that aren't playing.
Exactly. You want egg on the face of the SEC now, don't you?
Yes.
You want it to fail badly.
Because then you can use.
You
that
want
like,
massive
we
outbreaks.
Care, we care about you more than the SEC does.
And otherwise,
we care
you're
about
like
your well-being.
Otherwise, you're sitting there holding your wiener while they're playing football, and like that's
and there's no putting the toothpaste back in the tube, man.
We got so many different metaphors going here. We got toothpaste and wieners and everything else. Jeffrey, is the Big Ten going to be rooting for failure on the part of the SEC?
Yes,
absolutely, right?
Absolutely, because let's say, relatively speaking, that it works and that they finish the season and they get the money.
Oh, just they've devastated themselves.
I can tell you this. I'm not justifying it, but I know that this is going to matter in recruiting because there's
– Of course it will. Of course it will. It that's why if you're the Big Ten, you're
especially when you're Ohio State and Alabama are recruiting the same kids, and there are definitely going to be kids out there that are going to say, well, Alabama's taking football more seriously, and I'm not justifying that way of thinking. I'm just saying that's
no
a reality
because kids do want to play. They do want to play.
Yes.
Particularly recruits who haven't made their reputation yet. They
yes.
absolutely want to play. And it will be used against the Big Ten, and it will be used against the Pac-12. And I think it was the wrong decision too. What's interesting to me, John, is what I imagine happens is what happens in life, right? So I don't think anyone says it's safe to play. I don't think a doctor really said to you that there are no risks in this. You know what I mean? I don't believe that the Big 12 doctor said, yeah, no one's going to get sick, no one's going to get heart issues. It's here's what happens. They give here are the risks, here are the problems, whatever else. And then, in fact, Ross Dellinger's piece over at SI talked about this. He said what the debate was like in the Big 12 was the risks for kids under the circumstances versus the risks for kids if we don't have the structure of playing, if we don't have, you know, some will go home, the risks, balancing the risks, right? And if you do it that way, it just depends what you want to look at. If you do it that way, you can talk yourself into, yeah, sure, there are risks. Some kids may die or granny may die of COVID if we play. But if we send them home, this many people are going to die. And the Big Ten's more focused on the first part, right? Don't you think that's probably what happens? It's just how you want to frame the conversation.
I do think that. I think you want to confirm priors. You can get a doctor to do that. Absolutely, it's always about how you choose to what part of it you want to focus on.
It's no accident that the Yankees and the folks up north and out west are the people who closed it down, and the folks in the south are the folks who decided to play, right?
Well, the ACC, what you would not say, is the South.
The ACC is, in fact, the South. I mean, they've expanded a little into the Northeast, but they're traditionally.
I think what's interesting about the ACC is you have schools like Virginia, North Carolina, Duke, Wake Forest. You have very serious academic institutions. But I think one aspect that's playing into their decision is they know if you can't play football, you can't play basketball. And
why is that? Why can't you play basketball?
It's indoors. It's optic. I'm quoting Mike Oresko on that. And
I don't believe that. If you can't play football, you can't play basketball. In fact, I would venture to say if football goes away, you watch them try to figure out how to play basketball. You can't play basketball with fans, clearly.
It would be absolutely catastrophic for college basketball in the NCAA if they don't find a way to play a tournament. That'd be two in a row.
I agree.
Michael Lesko's coming from, but they will find a way to play basketball. They're going to have to.
It's interesting though. So that may be playing into the decision. They really care about basketball. Duke wants to play basketball. If they think you got to play football to play basketball, I just don't understand why you can have a bubble in basketball, as Gary has outlined. You can't have a bubble in football, and that's why, to me, one is more feasible than the other. But anyway, do you think Memphis has a shot of getting into the playoff this year, John, without the without Ohio State taking up a slot?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously the Pac-12 was never a threat, but
never.
Ohio State for sure. I mean, there's a spot open, so go get it. I mean, power. I think you have to say the AAC is now a power conference. I mean, are they not?
Well, it is no question. Everyone said it was the next best, right? It was the next best, and you lose two. If you lose two, next conference up, right? Isn't that what we call it? Next conference up.
Yeah, next man up.
And so next conference up, the next conference up is the AAC, and here's an opportunity. The Big 12 has just made it. The Big 10 has just made itself irrelevant. The Pac-12 was already making itself irrelevant. I think this is your moment on stage. It's like when you show up and you're a Broadway actor and the main dude can't go, you can step into that starring role and, you know, what's the baseball example? What's his name?
Wally Pipp.
Wally Pipp. It's Wally Pipp.
Yeah.
The Big Ten has become Wally Pipp here.
I have a question, okay?
About my memory?
No, I just have a question. Just generally, not necessarily related to that.
Is it about affordable blinds?
Do you have any interest at all in having Republicans as a part of your listening audience on the show?
Absolutely. My mother's Republican.
Because honestly, you know, some of us are starting to doubt. Some of us on the right are starting to doubt.
Starting to doubt what?
You know, do you want us as part of your listening audience? My man Jimmy, Memphis Dog, he tweeted it to you. And I think it would be good to just go ahead and
address it directly.
Right now.
Yes, absolutely. As I've said many a time before, like someone asked me actually on Twitter the other day, they said, can you name a single Republican you disagree with, you agree with? Like you say you're pointing to facts and science and whatever. Tell me a Republican you agree with, right? And I'll say, well, right now the governor of Texas I agree with. Like he is a mandatory mask order, right? The governor of Ohio, I certainly agree with him. He's been out in front of this all along. There are lots of – to me, this is the dumbest thing ever. This shouldn't be – I don't know why wearing a mask became – honestly, I think it's because Trump just didn't wear a mask, wanted to wear a mask because for vanity, and so that's why it became a Republican-Democrat thing. It's just not. Like, it's – every freaking scientist tells you to wear a mask, the Republican ones and the Democrat ones. So I don't really understand why this has become this weird political issue. So I agree with every Republican on this who listens to the scientists. And I agree with every Democrat on this who listens to...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.